Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show podcast. Think of it like a magazine or a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. From politics to pop culture, healthcare to legal issues, it's all here. And my behind-the-wheel chats are personal observations created especially for you on podcast only. Enjoy.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And welcome back to the show. Hello, hello. Returning for another appearance on the Lisa Wexler Show. One of the editors of these fantastic National Geographic series books is Joe Yogerst. And his latest is called 50 States, 1,000 Eats, the best bites, sips, and sights across the United States and Canada. Joe, welcome back to the show. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing, Lisa?
Now, this must have been a fun one.
It was a very fun one, I got to say. They're all fun, but this is a special one, to be able to eat and drink your way across the country.
Really?
In various states.
Yeah. Exactly. On somebody else's credit card. Go for it, Joe. Sounds good to me. Sounds really good to me. And you have these categorizations, and one of them is restaurants to die for. And with every state, you've got restaurants to die for. So we live in Connecticut, so we're going to focus a little bit on Connecticut. In your opinion, and these things are very subjective, so what are the restaurants to die for here in Connecticut, Joe?
Well, geez, I guess it depends on what you really like to eat. But if you're in Hartford, there's a couple places, the Charles Restaurant in Wethersfield Village, which is in a building that was constructed in 1790, right after the American Revolution. But it's really modern American cuisine. Their motto is kind of vintage feel, modern taste, and that's exactly what it is. New American cuisine. That's in not far from where you are right now. There's a great drinking place in Hartford called the Little River Restoratives. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
They specialize in craft cocktails and grog and punches. A couple of really amazing drinks. One called the Bad Ombre, which is a tequila, mezcal, lemon, and truffled honey. If that sounds appetizing, that's really
not at
a
all.
Tasty drink.
Not to me. No, not even remotely, actually.
And another one called the Kingston Buck, which is Jamaican rum and ginger beer and lime. So, yeah, that's the Little River Restoratives in Hartford. If you're down on the coast, New Haven has a couple of places that I really like. Louie's Lunch, which is, I think, just been there forever. It's a little hole-in-the-wall place with classic hamburgers. There's only 8 things on the menu, and half of them are drinks, so you better like burgers and fries.
Okay.
In New Haven, for pizza, the Frank Pepe Pizzeria Napolitano in Little Italy area is the place to go for a white clam pizza, if you're into that.
And, well, I mean, that, okay, you have to pause there and take a breath, because there are people who will say, no, it should be modern, it should be Sally's, the Beats, you know. So that's, we've had entire shows on the subject of which is the best pizza in New Haven, Joe. So you gotta watch that. Yes, I understand. And this one I never heard of, Camacho Garage in the city's Westville neighborhood. I never heard of
that. Well, you know, being from, I live about 20 miles from the border, and I grew up, my mother's from Arizona, I grew up in Southern California. I've eaten Mexican food my whole life, so I'm always looking to see where Mexican food, you know, I came away with a snob attitude that no one away from the border can possibly make good Mexican food, but I found out that that's really no longer the case anymore. A Camacho Garage, which is in an old auto shop, actually serves some amazing tacos and ceviche seafood in New Haven. I would, if you're into Mexican food, this place is a great place to go in Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that out. I'm not particularly into Mexican, but it sounds like a fun journey. I mean, and that's the point, right, of a lot of these things. We're chatting with Joe Yerges of National Geo, 50 states, 1,000 eats. A lot of it is as much about the atmosphere as it is about the food, right? And that's what you're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, the location, the atmosphere, the decor.
Yeah.
A lot of it is about that. Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't pick a place with bad food, but it's not everything is a Michelin star restaurant, right? And a lot of times the best food, especially for regional dishes or kind of iconic foods in a given place, are not at your top flight restaurants. And they're at places like Louie's Lunch that's been around since the 1910s or 20s, just for classic burgers, which I'm very much into.
Are you into the classic burger? Is that one of your favorite foods?
Well, yeah. I've discussed burgers a lot with people. It's not quite as controversial as pizza, but I'll basically eat a pizza with anything on it. I'll try it once. I'm not a big anchovy fan, but I will take other types of seafood, like clams, on my pizza. But burgers, man, I just like a classic burger, unless it's a bison burger. If there's a bison burger on the menu, I will go for that because I love bison.
I have not had bison. I have not had bison. No.
Wow. It's a lot leaner than beef. It's got a tiny bit of a wild taste, but not really a lot.
It's not familiarly on menus in New York and Connecticut, which is where I mostly eat. I mean, maybe
no,
I could
I
go find you, it, but it's not common. It's not common.
I don't think you have a lot of bison farms in Connecticut. But if you're in Montana or Wyoming or Colorado, it's on a lot of menus. I like classic burgers. Give me a piece of meat and some cheese and some lettuce and tomato, and I'm happy. I don't have to put a lot of fancy stuff on my burgers. I know there's a lot of variations these days, but my only variation is really cheese. Do I want American or do I want cheddar or Swiss or provolone or whatever? That's kind of my variation with burgers. But you can get all kinds, just like all kinds of pizzas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You know, in some ways, this book reminds me a little bit of the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives series, a little bit, because what you're trying to do is find these, you know, sort of undiscovered, out-of-the-way places where the people are really committed to good food. Some of the things you have here are very fancy, but a lot of them are not. I think they're made for somebody with an adventurous spirit, not necessarily a big pocketbook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was one of the things we set out to do was to find the lesser known places. You probably know them if you live in a place, but if you don't live in a given state or city, you may have no idea that these even exist.
Well, that's what's so scary about reading about a place in New Haven, which is all of a half an hour from me, a couple of places that I haven't been. But that's why I like to pick up these books, you know, because I like to find that there are things in my backyard that I don't even know about. That's what I enjoy about it. We're chatting with Joe Yerges, the editor of National Geographic, 50 states, 1,000 eats. I know I'm putting you on the spot if you were to look up, but let's talk about New York for a minute. Did you taste all of the restaurants that you write up here yourself, or are you sort of a collaboration with other editors that all fill in?
It's a collaboration. There's no way that I could have eaten at that many places.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, right? I wish I had. It would have taken a decade rather than a year to eat at all the places I'd really like to eat. You talk to family and friends, the editors at National Geographic, even though they're based in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia, Maryland, they tend to come from different places, right? And so you kind of hit them up for, you know, get together and talk about where places they like in their hometowns and their home states. And it's really a collaboration rather than just, I mean, I write the words, but the short list, which was really a long list of around 40 pages, was put together by a lot of different people.
I noticed that you talk about Russ and Daughters. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
No. Russ and Daughters is like the appetizing mecca for people in New York who really love. And we used to call it appetizing. I don't know if they still call it appetizing, but that's the name when I was growing up. That was the general category of essentially lox, always Nova,
yes.
Not belly lox.
I know it because my younger daughter lives in the East Village a couple blocks from there.
Mm.
She has been there. She has lined up on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's really good. And I'm glad that you mentioned Barney Greengrass because that's on the Upper West Side. And they really do a great job with bagels and lox and sturgeon and sable. And they really do a great job with it still. And it's a very, I'll tell you, if you're on the Upper West Side, they have an outdoor cafe as part of the indoor. And the guy on Saturdays and Sundays, and I think he's only there on Saturdays and Sundays, he is a quintessential New York character. I mean, a character. He's like a character out of like a movie. And he goes around, he schmoozes with everybody who's on the sidewalk. He carries on with them about what they're going to order. He never writes anything down. You know, the whole thing. Everything is in cash. You know, it's like a scene. So you're in like a movie. It's fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. I had to go to the ATM, Joe, in order to get money to pay for breakfast. Okay. Okay, because I did not have enough cash on hand for a $50 breakfast. Sorry. But, you know, that's what you have to pay for good Nova. So, Joe Yeager, so this is a wonderful addition. What else is coming up in the National Geographic series? What else can we look forward to?
I'm working on a family adventure travel book at the present time, which I just started, and it will be out in early 2026.
Oh, my God.
I know. I've got 2 years to work on it instead of one, which is actually great.
Wow.
Another book that's called The Traveler's Atlas of the World, which is probably the next. That will be out at this time next year, probably with National Geographic. I'm writing 14 of those chapters on 14 different countries around the world, including Bolivia that I just got back from. So those are my next two National Geographic books, one that'll be out next year at this time, and then that's the Traveler's Atlas of the World. And then the Family Adventure book will be out in 2026. And then after that, we're looking at updating the original 50 States book that came out in 2017. Because by 2027, it will be 10 years old, and with COVID and the pandemic in the middle. And lots has changed since 2016, 2017, when we did that original book that's sold something like 500,000 copies now, I think.
The National Geographic brand, to your credit, has really kept up the quality of the photographs as well as the commentary and the subjects. And it really is to the credit of the team there because you had this magnificent brand to launch from. But it's not always obvious that you can keep up the quality, and you really have. I love my collection of National Geographic books. I do. I love the compilations. And I, you know what I call them? I call them bucket list reading. You know,
I kind of think of them. Yeah, I think of them that way too. For me, they're bucket list to write the subjects that I was already in love with, and then I get to research and write even more about them.
So, where do you make home, and do you ever stay in your same house for more than two or three nights in a row?
Yes, I do. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Later this year, it's going to not feel like it. I live in one of those little beach towns between San Diego and Los Angeles. I grew up in one, and I live in a different one. And I spent 20 years away living in London, Johannesburg, Hong Kong, and Singapore, but then I ended up coming back here when I started having kids of my own, because I thought it was a great place to grow up by the beach in California. And I do travel a lot. Sometimes my wife goes with me. My kids, I hauled them around a lot until they went off to college. And I think they have the travel bug themselves. In fact, my next trip is in April to go visit my daughter in Amsterdam. She just moved there in December. And I'm going over to visit her. First time I have been to Amsterdam since I was a college backpacker.
Wow.
I travel a lot. This summer and spring, I have like 2 weeks between, I think, five different trips. 2 weeks at home between five different trips, all overseas. And then it's back to the domestic trips for family adventure in the fall.
We're chatting with Joe Yogerst, who is an editor and writer for National Geographic and puts together these extraordinary compilations. When you read the papers and you read about politics, for example, Hong Kong yesterday in the news because they capitulated after these years and they're now basically what we've always known they've been, but now it's in writing after all of those tortured protests of people that really clung to this idea that they could be free past the 1997 lease. And you live there. Like, what emotions does that stir in you, Joe?
Well, a lot. I was there when it was still British, before 97, for 3 years. And I was there during the big protest in Beijing. And that was a very emotional time to be in Hong Kong. And then afterwards, most of the friends that I had that were there who were local people have since left and immigrated to Australia, Canada, the UK, places like that. So they kind of didn't trust the whole agreement that the British made. I think they kind of got sold out by their colonial masters. A lot of them didn't believe that the agreement that the British made was ever going to stand up, and it didn't. Took a while. Took longer than I expected. But, a lot of emotions. The same with when I was in Johannesburg. I lived in Johannesburg during apartheid as a freelance writer, kind of foreign correspondent, to write about what was happening there then. And it was very positive emotions in the early 90s when apartheid ended and Nelson Mandela was released and became the president. And went back last year to see what was happening, and positive things and negative things all these years down the line. And people are always asking me about, when I'm overseas, about politics here. And it's really hard to kind of discuss what's happening here without getting emotional about it.
Did you make, in retrospect, was it a wise decision to bring your kids back to California? Was it a good decision for you and your family? Was it the right place to raise your kids, in your view?
Yeah, I think so. There were a lot of reasons to come back, but that was one of them. I had a 2-year-old, and did I want to become a perpetual expat and stay overseas my whole life? And I looked at other people that I stayed, that I knew, especially in Asia, that were Australian or British or Canadian, and they were just constantly in flux. Their kids didn't seem to have any roots in one particular place or any allegiance to one particular country or whatever. And I just felt like I wanted my kids to grow up as Americans. And my wife agreed with me. And, if we'd stayed overseas, they would have had, I guess they'd be more cosmopolitan. I don't know. But they wouldn't be very American. And I definitely wanted them to grow up as Americans.
It's a pleasure chatting with you, Joe. And I want to thank you very much for coming back on the show. Thank you for your book, 50 States, 1,000 Eats, another terrific addition to this compendium of National Geographic, beautifully produced and written books, where to go, when to go, what to eat and what to drink. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great talking to you again. I always enjoy it.
Me too. Thanks, Joe. We'll be right back with more of The Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at Lisa@LisaWexler.com.